Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I'm on the super diet right now, where I got tired of seeing my belly and my suits weren't fitting right. When you wear a white shirt all the time and your belly sticks out just a little bit and then your coat hangs back like that, it really gets bad. You know, I happened to see a picture of myself and I thought, oh my goodness, not only old, now I'm fat. So you know what? I'm on a diet and it's one of those super diets and I'm doing my very best. And Mike Babcock, how much weight did you lose on that diet? 30 pounds. Did it in about 2 months? Month? Some couple months. All right. So I'm on it. I foot the bill for it, and I'm on it. And, well, I'll just tell you, it's Nutrisystem, all right? Food's actually good. It's tasty. When you're used to the food that I eat, it's good food. It's good. It's good food. It's tasty. Here's the problem. There's not enough of it. Man, I'm starving to death. And I've taken up a notch in my belt in 1 week's time, and I can see a big difference, and I feel a little bit better, and so I'm at it. I'm like Mike Babcock. I spent the money for this stupid diet, and so I'm not going to break it. And what Tim Schmig said about pop and pizza, it didn't happen. I want you to know that. He said that in Sunday school. So here's the deal. Life's not fair. Tim wants to go to the Laker game. So we go up to watch the Lakers play. They were playing Bowling Green. Number one team in the conference, by the way. Beat them 1-0 overtime. It was a great game. But at any rate, I never win anything. Well, the announcer in the big PA system says, all the people in section Q, Hungry Howie is going to give away a free pizza to the row that cheers the loudest. We're right in the end. Here's Tim. Here's me. There's one other guy. We're in the end. Well, I think, man, we're in section Q. I look over. There's the guy with the pizza. Tim and I look at one another. We go, rah, rah, just real as loud as we can. He didn't take 10 seconds. He just handed the pizza over to us. And so we won. What am I going to do with this? So I handed it down. Now, Pastor Bill was down the row and a bunch of young people, but there were some old people between us, and they scarfed up almost all the pizza before it got down to them. Life sometimes isn't fair. But I want you to know this. It's the year 2016. We've got the winter in front of us, the spring in front of us. Should the Lord tarry? We've got time to redeem and use for God. Let's not waste any of it. This is our second Sunday of the new year. Man, there are people got to be reached with the gospel. We've got people in our church congregation that are great, I underline that word, great soul winners. They're doing it every single week. And what we need today is we need the power of God. We need Holy Spirit power. If you read of the great soul winners of even recent days gone by in the church, D.L. Moody, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you just go right down the list, and they all agree with this. They all agree that after you're born again, we're still sinners, and we need God's help in order to get anything done. And they believed in the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. And to be infilled with the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit of God, you needed to surrender. It was just that simple. It was an act of the will, a surrendering of the will. God, your will, not my will. The whole day's yours. Please take complete control of me. That's exactly how it happens. You empty yourself of yourself and you give yourself over to God. And without exception, every one of those great heroes of the faith that I hold so high in my eyes from the recent past, every one of them agree with this. That the reason for the infilling power of the Holy Spirit is for soul winning. That's it. It's for soul winning. Now, the fruit of the Spirit and everything, that all comes out. But it's for soul winning. And we live in the me-first generation, the me-first Baptist church of the world. And people aren't even looking to that anymore. There's so many people with a party attitude. So many people with, what can I get out of life? And that's all wrong. That is wrong-headed. That is carnal. That is dead wrong. Your neighbor's going to hell, and you're worried about the things of this life. I'm just saying that's not what we're supposed to be. This morning's message, believe it or not, is going to be encouraging. I want to revisit the truth of the Holy Spirit. I want to revisit I know we already did it once this year, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. He is the most misunderstood person of the Trinity. I would also say he is the best kept secret of the church of Jesus Christ. On the birthday of the church in Acts in chapter 2, the Comforter came. The Holy Spirit came down. Take your Bibles, John in chapter 16. Our helper. Paraclete is the actual Greek word. He comes alongside of us. He helps us. He encourages us. He enables us. He is our advocate. Far too much of the church of Jesus Christ is being operated in the power of the flesh. Far too many Christians are just bouncing through life, going from day to day, and they don't have Holy Spirit power in their lives. I'm telling you, I'm talking to every Christian here this morning, on the platform and here in the auditorium and up in the sound room. Every one of you that can hear me. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand who He is and what He can do. We got to get our eyes off of the things of this life and on eternal things, the things that really matter. John in chapter 16, Jesus taught, and Pastor Josh already read John chapter 14, and I love verse 12. Let me just read that verse again, to verse 12 of chapter 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. God the Son said, you're going to be able to do greater things than I did while I reached more people than I reached while I was here my 3 years of ministry on my mission here in this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And the reason is, I am going to the Father, and I am going to be your advocate. And when I leave, I am going to send the helper. I'm going to send the comforter. I am going to send, all Bible words, the Holy Spirit. And he will enable you. He will empower you. John in chapter 15, verse 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. There's a lot of religionity today that makes fun of the old time religion. There's a lot of religionity today, and that's the word I'm going to use, that makes fun of our forefathers and what they believed and how they stood upon the Word of God. And how so many got saved. And they wonder why it isn't going on in their life. Verse 4, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me whither goest thou. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. He already told them he's going to Calvary. Man, he already told them that he was going to be crucified, that men were going to betray him. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Is it expedient? In other words, it is profitable. It is right for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus Christ, when he was here on this earth, never ceased to be God. But he couldn't be everywhere at once. He said, that's why it's expedient for me to go home. Because I am going to send someone that can be everywhere at once. The Comforter. The Holy Spirit. And he will encourage you. And he will enable you. And he will empower you. And we pay no attention to him today. Here it is, the year 2016. And life is busy. And everybody's trying to make money. We come to church because that's the thing we're supposed to do. We've always done it, and we learned to do it. One time there was a time in our life where we got saved, and so we know what's right to do, but we have no time for God the Holy Spirit. He said, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, that's conviction, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believed not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. of judgment because of the prince of this world, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus said, I've got so much to teach you. I've got so much for you to learn, so much I want to share with you, but there's no time. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's the one that will teach you, and he will guide you. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit's job, one of the Holy Spirit's ministries, is to exalt Jesus Christ, is to lift high the Son of God. That's why he came down to this earth. If I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. That's what Jesus said. He was talking about Calvary. I know that. The Holy Spirit is one. And that's why you know you're getting good Bible preaching when Jesus Christ is honored, when Jesus Christ is glorified. The Spirit of God isn't looking to be glorified himself. That's not his ministry. We don't exalt and glorify the Holy Spirit of God. He is our helper. He is our encourager. He is the third person, not just a force and not an it. He is the third person of the Godhead, the Trinity, the triunity. One of his jobs here in this earth is to lift high Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is the one that died on the cross. Because his blood is what washes away our sin. And it's Jesus Christ that rose again on the third day and then ascended on up into heaven. And this is the church of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit just kind of keeps that all in order. Jesus says, after I leave, I'll send you the Comforter. He'll teach you all things. He'll guide you. He will instruct you. I want you to know here this morning that Jesus, the Son of God, has not left you alone. You're not alone in this world. God has not forsaken you. God has not forgotten you. God has never taken his eyes off of you. You belong to him. He knows the numbers of stars in the sky. He knows them by name. Jesus said he knows the number of hairs upon our head. That's because he's God. He's not a man. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's either these things or he's not God. And he is God. The absolute God. He said, I'm going to go to my Father. I'll be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll be your advocate. I will intercede for you. There's so much more you need to learn, but don't worry about it. Don't fret. I am going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you. And when you get born again, you are baptized. This is Bible doctrine. You are baptized, spiritual baptism, baptized into the family of God that very moment that you are saved, that you are born again. The word baptized, baptizo, it means to immerse. It really has nothing to do with water. And now, biblical baptism, a believer's baptism, that happens after salvation. But whether somebody gets, you saw a whole family get saved here, get baptized here a week ago. They got saved prior to that. Just like anybody that gets baptized here. That's just a picture of what the Holy Spirit has already done. We have been immersed into the family of God. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. We'll just look at a single verse, verse 13. Some of this will be somewhat of a review for you because, like I said, we're revisiting this, but I feel like we need to do it at the beginning of a brand new year. When you get saved, you are baptized into the family of God. Verse 13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. He goes on and he teaches on it. But notice what he says in verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Spiritual baptism. Baptized into the family of God, becoming adopted by God the Father into his family, and it's the Holy Spirit that immerses us into the family of God. It isn't a tingly feeling. It may have been for somebody along church history somewhere, but that's not how it happens. And it's not a fiery cross in the sky, or it's not seeing a shooting star, and it's not being saved from an automobile accident. It's repenting of your sin, knowing you deserve to go to hell, and the Savior has come. And He's made a way for you when there was no way. He's the Savior of the world. And you're sorry for your sin, and you repent of your sin, and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart in that moment that your heart cries out to God, and you mean it. That's the salvation experience. And you've been adopted, immersed into the family of God. The Holy Spirit has a part of salvation. And then after salvation, He indwells us, and He stays with us. Galatians in chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm never alone. I am never alone. Some of you have already gone through the empty nest syndrome. You kind of know what that, where you can all of a sudden you can hear the clock ticking. Well, you could never hear it before. Now there's sour milk in the fridge, and there never was before. You know, and your house actually gets quiet from time to time. You're never alone. In the darkest night, God is there. In the toughest time, God is there. In the lowest valley, God is there. In the loneliest moment, God is there. Our encourager, our comforter. Verse 20 of chapter 2 in the book of Galatians. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He indwells us. Don't turn there, we don't have time. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, you're familiar with the passage that teaches that our bodies, when we're born again, become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. He secures us. He tells us in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians in chapter 1. If you're a new Christian, try to get all these verses written down. Ephesians and chapter 1. We are sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed means kept. We've got the fingerprint of God in our lives. We are His forever. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says we're kept by the grace of God. Look at chapter 4 here in Ephesians in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, in the year 2016, you may not completely understand what that word sealed means. But when this letter was written, and in Bible's times and in Paul's time, when the emperor or someone of authority put their seal on an envelope or their seal on a possession, nobody could break that seal. Nobody except the person it's addressed to. We are sealed by God the Holy Spirit. And nothing can take us out of God's hand. Amen? Matthew chapter 10. Amen. Nothing above this earth, in this earth, or below this earth. We are kept in the hand of God. The Comforter has come. He baptized me into the family of God, where I was spiritually baptized the moment I got saved. Now, I followed the Lord in the waters of baptism afterwards as a step of obedience and a testimony. But I was baptized into the family of God, immersed into the family of God by God the Holy Spirit. And then He indwells us as believers. And that means he stays with us. And that would go to the third point as well, where we are sealed. We're secure. We belong to God. You have never, if you're born again, raise your hand if you're born again. You know you're saved. You know it, all right? All right, put your hands back down. You have never been out of sight and out of the watch care of God. Never. You say, well, what about that time back then? God was there. And He was in control. You got to remember this in the year 2016. Who knows what's ahead for your family? Who knows what tragedy you may face? Who knows what mountain you may have to climb, what difficulty, good times and bad times. Who knows? But God knows. He holds tomorrow. And he's in absolute control. And we are secure in God. When there's no one else, there's God. When there's nowhere else, there is God. It's wonderful to be a believer. It is wonderful to be a member of the family of God. I am never alone. I am absolutely secure. He abides with me. I do my best to obey him, so I'll know the blessings of God. And he strengthens us every step of the way. There's someone greater than I watching over you. Someone greater than your parent watching over you. Perhaps your parents have gone home to glory, and now you're the grandpa, great-grandpa, and man, who's watching over me? God. God. Illustration. God help you if you hurt someone Grandma Doty loves. All right? She'll get you. She loves little ducks. I heard the story this week, and I thought, man, that is so funny. On her cell phone, everybody's got a ringtone, right? Hers, I don't know, is it still a duck, Doty? The quack? Okay, quack, quack, quack. You know, that kind of thing. Okay, so she'll know that the phone is ringing. Well, apparently she was up at Walmart, and she'll rescue a little baby duck any chance she can. In the Walmart parking lot, she heard some ducks. And I don't know how long this happened. Caroline didn't elaborate a lot, but I can picture her wandering around the Walmart parking lot looking for these ducks, but it was really her cell phone all along. I said that to jump to this. God help the man that comes between God and someone he loves. We have a Father that watches over us. When you leave the building this morning, you're not going to leave alone. You're going to go with God. Man, what a privilege. He strengthens us. He enables us. Go back to John 14 again. John in chapter 14. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. I'm excited about 2016. I was excited about 2015. I'm glad it's behind me. I'm excited about 2016. I'm fully expecting God to do great things. I'm expecting hundreds of people to come to Christ this year through the ministries of Fundamental Baptist Church. I am fully expecting to grow in grace. I'm expecting the church to grow in number. And I want to clear something up real quick, all right? I was real open with you last Sunday night, 10 reasons why I love pastoring a country church, and you found out that anything that's around here after a couple weeks, I just want to clear some things up because I had about three people ask me afterwards. If you're around here a couple weeks, it's a coat, it's a sweater, whatever it is, man, it's going to the dumpster. I'm getting rid of it because it just piles up and piles up. So it'll be out of here. I do not throw away Bibles. So you need not ask me if I threw away your Bible. I tell you, I fear God above. I do not throw away Bibles. I also announced last Sunday morning that this coming spring, going into summer, we're going to go to an early morning service, Sunday school, and then the 11 o'clock service. We're going to do our best to build a whole other congregation in the early hours of Sunday morning. We're going to go out after them. I'm going to assign these guys. We're going to try to build it up, keep this congregation going like it's going, and build up a bigger one, and have Sunday school sandwiched in between. And someone asked me about the contemporary service and the traditional service. That is not happening at Fundamental Baptist Church. The day there's a drum set up here, I'm talking about, I don't mean an orchestra drum, I mean a drum set, that's the day I'm in a nursing home somewhere, or you know, I'm just not here, and Pastor Josh is now the pastor, or Pastor Bill is now the pastor. No, it ain't going to happen with them either. Hey, there's going to be Bible thumping in every service at Fundamental Baptist Church. You got to know that, all right? Now, our God above will enable us. He says in verse 12, greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. Without looking at the text, we don't have time. He helps us in prayer. We got to look at it. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. We have time for this verse. Romans in chapter 8. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He understands, and he prays in ways we don't understand. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. My Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. We have the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Boy, I'm sorry, I got to run over this real fast. The operation of the gifts in Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans in chapter 12. We have the power of God, which is soul-winning power. John in chapter 14 and verse 12. Let me wrap this up. There's only one way I can close this service. We need to get full of God. You don't dissect God. You don't cut him in half and thirds and that kind of thing. It comes down to this. God has got to get more of me. God needs to get more of you in the year 2016. I so hunger for that. Do you want God's best? Do you desire Holy Spirit power? Do you want to see even more people come to Christ, more than you've ever seen before? God needs to get all of us. Here's how that happens. In a quick minute, make time to read your Bible. Schedule it. Richard and I were talking. You heard some preacher on the radio this morning. It's just the way it is. If you don't schedule Bible reading, you'll neglect Bible reading. 4 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday, you get through your Bible in a year's time. But you got to schedule it. Otherwise, it is the first thing crowded out. Next to the second thing, make sure you have a prayer closet. Make sure you're communing with God. Daily prayer, talking with God. Church services, be faithful. Lee Robertson used to say this, 3 to thrive. 3 to thrive. You've heard me say that before. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's how you thrive. That's how you're going to grow. 3 meals a week, you come to all the services. Say, preacher, what about that early morning service going to be happening? Well, you don't need to come to that. But 3 times, all right? 3 to thrive. So be faithful to church. And be filled with the Spirit. You will not be filled with the Spirit if you are full of yourself. It's not going to happen. Man, you got to be willing to just allow God to work in your life, and chip away the rough edges, and take away what you don't need. He's your Father and He knows best. And if you'll just surrender to Him, He'll lead you. I'm done. Remember what Jesus said, John 14? John 16, I have to go. I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to the grave. I'm going to rise from the dead. And I'm going to ascend to my Father above. I've got to go. There's so much I want to teach you, but I can't. There's not enough time. But when I go, I'll send you a comforter. I would tell you, respect the Holy Spirit. Honor the Holy Spirit. Do not worship the Holy Spirit as an entity in himself, because he is all about Jesus Christ. He's the one you worship. Allow God to teach you. Allow him to help you. Allow him to encourage you and enable you. Paul testified to that. God hath enabled me, putting me into the ministry.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.